Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. Fun system here. Really two guys that I really, really like at the top. Two guys that I saw this year play. So it'll be really, really fun. And they're both top 10 prospects for me. Well, top 15.
One is overrated, at least in my opinion.
I know which one you're talking about, and it's probably not the one that people think.
But we are talking about the Minnesota Twins system today. And we'll dive into that. We'll have a little bit of discussion. I know that I've gone back and forth on one of these guys with Walter in our chat. I don't know that I've done it necessarily on air or not. But
no, I don't think so.
So we'll talk about it. I'll get your thoughts on him. Before we do, I want to remind everybody to reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. So go ahead. Who's the number one guy in your system?
Royce Lewis. First overall pick in the 2017 draft. I've seen him play in person. The bat speed is the absolute truth. Hit tool wise, I think he's a 60. And that is lower than the other guy we're going to talk about. But I get it, though. Because Lewis, 292, 352, 451, 14 homers, 28 stolen bases, 8% walk rate, 15.7% strikeout rate. When I saw Lewis for a series in Kane County, keep in mind it was only three games, he did not look good at all. And the guy I saw was an aggressive guy. But he was his own worst enemy in the series I saw. A couple of examples, like a 2-0 count. He's swinging at a fastball, popped up to the shortstop. It was a 3-1 count. He swung at a breaking ball and chopped and grounded out to the pitcher. Stuff like that, right? That'll improve with experience. But that's the kind of thing that he needs to work on a little bit. The approach overall approach is raw. But I do think Lewis has really high upside. I think he's an easy top 10 prospect in the game. I have him and Kirilloff in the same tier. Quick reflexes. I think he's going to stick at shortstop, which I think is kind of what saves him here. He puts the barrel on everything. He's got the true leadership kind of skills. Is he going to hit 300? I don't know. He might be able to steal 300 just because he's quick. But
steal,
I think on
300?
Raw, like steal 300 average, as in like a few extra hits because he can run.
Mm-hmm.
I worded that poorly.
It's like if he's stealing 300 bases, we are talking about a different prospect.
Right. I think true talent, he's probably 275, 280.
Mm-hmm. That seems about right.
And then I think he could steal 30 bases. Power output's where I run into questions. I think maybe 15, maybe 20. If he can get 20, that's huge. But if he can get 15, I think that's a pretty safe bet. And the upside is a little bit lower than I think people would think, but I think that's why I sit with Lewis, and I still have him as a top 10 prospect. It's not like I'm hating on him, but I do see the issues here. Again, 82, 83% contact rate. He makes a lot of contact. He's a really efficient base dealer as well. He has the ability to be a first-round fantasy player with the skill set. I just don't know if he gets there. Kind of Trey Turner light.
Yeah, and that's been my issue, is that Walter – is one of the people who are calling him the next Trey Turner. And I think that is an unfair comp. One,
no.
I don't think he has Trey Turner speed.
You know who could be the next Trey Turner? And it's kind of an off-the-wall comp, but Jorge Mateo.
Yes.
From Oakland. I think that's a better fit.
Yes, he's
like more, I would say the hit tool is not as developed as Lewis's is, but you gotta remember, Trey Turner is not a straight 300 hitter either.
Yeah.
And when I talk about Royce Lewis stealing 300, that's what I meant. Like, he's a 275, 280 true talent guy, but his speed can make up for a little bit. Like
he can have a higher BABIP because he's going to be
right.
That infield.
Might get an extra
balls.
Hit a week.
Yeah.
Right. Might get an extra hit or two a week, and that adds up. And that's kind of
– Did I lose you? Matt?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I was on mute.
Okay.
But I think when I look at Royce Lewis, I think he's Trey Turner light.
Yeah, I don't even know if I would go that far. And I think he, I mean, I still think he's a top 10 prospect. Like, I'm not saying he's not a top 10 prospect.
We're in agreement.
But yeah, I don't think he has his power. I don't know that he's got, I think the hit tool is probably similar when it's all said and done. But I don't think he's got Trey Turner's power. I don't think he's got his speed. I don't, I mean, I guess he probably will stick at shortstop.
Yeah, he will. I'm confident in that.
Okay. But I don't know if that is as valuable as it used to be, considering the landscape of shortstop in fantasy nowadays. So, I think I'm a little bit more.
He's got first round fantasy pick as a ceiling.
Sure, for sure. But I think the chances that he gets there are pretty slim.
Sure. I would put like a 70 overall grade on the player. He might not have a 70 grade tool, but I think the collection of 60s is good enough. Defensive ability, the speed to be like that, especially if you can stick it short. But, you know, I do think the upside's a little bit.
Yeah, and see, I'm more of a, I think he's like a 60 grade player.
Might be.
Which is fine. And oh, like, why can't he be, you know, prime Gene Segura, and that's not like a bad thing.
That's actually not a bad comp, because he's an aggressive hitter. I mean, his walk rates are a little bit higher than they should be, in my opinion, because of how aggressive he is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind that.
So, but I mean, that's not Trey Turner at the same time. So I think people, you know, calling him a, you know, he's Trey Turner and he's going to be a, you know, a future first round pick. While that is in the range of outcomes, I think it's much more likely he is a fourth, fifth round guy, which has a ton of value, especially as a prospect. So, like,
right. I was about to say top 50 guy, and that's exactly what you said.
Right. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Same page, I think. Next guy for me is the best non-Vladimir Guerrero hit tool in the minor leagues. That's Alex Kirilloff. Kirilloff missed all of 2017 with Tommy John surgery after getting drafted. With him, there's some power. It's a weird profile. 6'1", 195, but he looks sturdier than that. He doesn't look athletic, but he is. He has a really, really strong arm from right field, which I got to see in the series I was at, which is encouraging because, you know, Tommy John, right? But I look at Kirilloff and the 70 hit tool and 50 power projection. The 50 power could turn into 60 power as he develops more, and that's huge. I saw Kirilloff against a lefty, and it was a beautiful thing too. He stays back, drove the ball into left field, line drive. I actually think I posted a video on Twitter of it a while back. It's a beautiful stroke. If I had to bet on a singular prospect not named Vladimir Guerrero hitting 300 in the major leagues, I'd pick Kirilloff. That's how highly I am. That's how much I like the profile. It's not entirely crazy to say that Kirilov's upside here. I've seen Christian Yelich thrown out there. 300 hitter, 25 to 30 homers. I think that's a lock, both of those. I really do. Where I see the Yelich outcome not being true is I don't think he steals enough bases to do that. He's not a zero, though. I do think he can add like 10 to 12 steals or so, which makes him, what, like a modern-day Charlie Blackman kind of guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do think he can play center field. He might be stretched out there. I don't think he's spent much time out there in his pro career yet. But Kirilloff is a dog, man, and people are sleeping on him. I don't think anymore, but I think as of like a couple months ago, I think you could have got Kirilloff for nothing. I think that window's closed. But the plate skills here are strong. The contact rate's high. 15% strikeout rate. He's only had 4 stolen bases last year. But his line in two levels of A-ball, 348, 392, 578. Keep in mind, the Midwest League and the Florida State League are two fucking hard places to hit. And Kirilloff destroyed both leagues. Destroyed righties. Destroyed lefties. There's a chance if Minnesota gets crazy. Like, okay, I'm going to make a lot of statements here, but I want to clarify this. There is likely no Juan Soto, right? There's no other Juan Soto.
No.
If there was to be one, I think Kirilov's the safest bet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not betting on it to happen, But he's at the same place where Soto was development-wise.
And you're talking about in terms of, like, redrafts this year.
Yes, yes. If Minnesota wanted to get crazy, which I don't see them doing that, they're not as...
They're not going to do that.
No, but, like, if you're looking for the next Juan Soto, which, again, not going to happen, I want to clarify that, Kirilov is the candidate. He checks every box, uses all fields. It's a really strong approach, hit tool. The power is growing. He's going to be a 25 to 30 homer guy in the bigs. I'm infatuated with the profile. I like the skills here. It's like a 1A and 1B in the system with him and Royce Lewis. It's a simple mechanics. And in the Midwest League Home Run Derby, he even went to the finals. He lost to Will Benson, of all people. But I love Kirilov. He's quickly becoming my favorite prospect. He's rising up my ranks, and it's
How dare you not talk about Adele?
It's a skill. Hey, I like them both, and that's a fun question. It's a fun debate on who you'd rather have between those two.
I mean, it's not much of a debate for me, but I think for most people it would be.
Yeah, because do you want the kind of unrefined hit tool with the power speed combination, or do you want the hit tool with growing pull side power but all fields hit approach in Larnach? Larnach's the safer, Kirilov, but Kirilov's the safer bet
for sure.
But Adele is the number one overall pick kind of guy, and Kirilov, I don't know if he's quite that, but he's close. I would probably go Kirilov because of safety. I think if I'm looking at my rankings, I might have contradicted myself, but they're in the same tier. I'll say that. They're both inside the top 10. I think I have Adele higher because I think Adele's actually he's played in Double A too. Not that Kirilov isn't Double A ready, but he didn't play Double A this year. So next on the list, I'm going to go with the guy who, until the arrival of Yusei Kikuchi, was my number one prospect for first-year player drafts this year, and that's Trevor Larnach. And yes, I didn't pick Gorman. Yes, I didn't do India. India was my number one pick before the draft. After the draft, I pivoted to Larnach because I think Minnesota's contention window is open right now. Well, as much as it's ever going to get, because I don't think they're ever really true contenders, right? I think they need a lot of things to go right. But I think Larnach is an interesting blend of 30-plus homer power now with OBP and doubles. It's a really simple swing, 6'4" kind of guy, high floor, extremely safe profile. I look at Larnach, though, 265, 285 hitter with strong OBP and the same kind of 25 to 30 homer potential of Kirilov. He sells out to the pull side. He's probably an average runner. His walk rates were strong in his pro debut, 16% while in the Pac-12 playing for Oregon, 14% in the Appy League, 11% in the Midwest League. Contact rate went up after he entered pro ball compared to his college days. And again, he's not the toolsy athlete that's going to take forever. He's the non-explosive, safe corner outfield bat that can already play an average defense over there. There's no real reason for him to be in the minor leagues that long. The only real reason is if Minnesota wants to get cute with him, and they shouldn't, because I think Larnach can be a really nice asset. Brusdar Graterol just came back from Tommy John in 2017. 102 innings this year, 2.74 ERA, struck out over a batter per nine, walked less than three, dominated A-ball as a 19-year-old. There's some reliever risk, as there are with pretty much most guys like this, but when he was healthy, he did have a back and wrist issues that kind of took him off the mound for a little bit this year. He's in the Midwest League and destroyed it. He went to the Florida State League and did well. He's got true swing and miss. He could be the highest upside twin starter since Jose Berrios. And Graterol is a long-term number two starter for me. Really good slider, best secondary pitch. He got a changeup. Has a curveball that's kind of just fringy, but the fastball and slider are both plus, and the changeup flashes plus. So it's a really good profile for Graterol. Limits hits. It's a lot of stuff to like. 6'1", 180, so some room to grow and some projection as well. My next guy is Brent Rooker. Missed some time with a shoulder injury that pulled him out of the fall league. He went to the fall league, didn't play too much. There's some big-time pop here. He's maxed out physically, 6'3", 210. Mississippi State product, first-round pick in 2017. probably first base, corner, outfielder. Never not going to add any defensive value in either place. Mostly pull-oriented guy, hits a lot of fly balls. So, again, the batting average won't be strong. Look for a guy in the 250, 260 range on his good end probably. Could get up to 270 if, you know, everything breaks right. Has a lot of tough time with breaking balls down and away, which, again, most young hitters do. Stop me if I'm sounding like a broken record, but I think there's another guy with 25 home run pop here. Mm-hmm. And I think he can hit 250. And he's got strong walk rates, 10% last year, 10% the year before, 11%, 16% in college. So he's got a little patience and speed to the game here. 22 homers this year and 503 at-bats in Double-A. Tough place to hit, Double-A, Eastern League. Hit 11 home runs in the Florida State League, hit 7 home runs in the Appy League in 2017. So it's a nice profile here, some power. Just hope the shoulder is healthy because that can cut him out at the knees before it even starts out. My next guy is Joan Duran. Duran was acquired from Arizona at the deadline for the drawing a blank on the name. He's the middle infielder, Eduardo Escobar. Mm-hmm. And he's a tall righty, 6'5", 175. So obviously, you know, you can see he's got some projection there on the body. I like Duran. I think that was probably a fair deal for both sides. But Duran is a stuff over command guy right now, even though the control numbers, the strikeout numbers are 25%, but the walk number, 10% walk rate is a little bit high for me. That was in after the trade. Throws a slider, curveball, kind of blend together, low to mid-90s fastball. I am I'm kind of aggressive on Duran. I'm a fan. Akil Baddoo is another guy that I like in this system. The only issue I have with Baddoo is I look at him and he's more of like an OBP asset than he is anything else, which is interesting in his own right. But 243, 351, 419, 11 homers and 24 stolen bases. He's got some sneaky pop. I think there's more pop growing into it. 14% walk rate obviously plays into the OBP. Hit 11 home runs in the Midwest League, which doesn't sound like a lot, but, I mean, that's a good number for that league. Extremely patient guy. Again, that's kind of why the 24% strikeout rate's there, because he's so passive and takes a lot of pitches. I think he's a 55 hit if you factor in the approach. It's a 55 hit if you factor in just the hit tools on itself. It's probably a 45. With 50 to 55 raw power, good speed, and he's probably a corner outfielder because he takes in shaky routes. He's a quick twitch guy, but the arm's not great and doesn't have really good instincts in the outfield. So that hurts the profile a little bit. Wander Javier is probably my next guy on this list, so shout out to Dusty. Injured and raw are the two words that Lance uses to describe him, and I think that fits perfectly because, you know, he missed the whole season of development due to the shoulder surgery. Probably going to head to low A Midwest League to start the year, so I should see him this year in Kane County. Tools the athletic shortstop. It was a labrum injury in his non-throwing shoulder, 6'1", 165. He's got some room to grow. In 2017 in the Appy League, in 157 at-bats, he had 299, 383 with a 471 slug, 11% walk rate, 4 homers and 4 stolen bases. So you see what the terrific defender plus instincts. You can see the skill set here. He needs to make more contact. Sub 70% contact rate doesn't bode well for his future, but, I mean, he's young enough to make several adjustments, so I'm not ruling that out. Gilberto Celestino, they got him from the Astros in the Ryan Pressly trade. Smooth, fluid defender, a little bit of power, speed here to love. Toolsy center fielder, 22 of 24 on the stolen bases. Struggles with the hit tool, I think, because picking up spin. He gets plenty of loft, though, so he's a step ahead of the game. Hit 5 home runs this year, had 22 stolen bases between two levels of A-ball and rookie ball. Had a little stint in Double-A this year toward the end of the season. In 8 at-bats, he didn't get a hit, but, you know, he's advanced enough. He should start there this year. I look at a guy that can probably hit 10 to 12 homers and chip in 25 or so stolen bases if he gets enough time. Obviously, outfield's crowded here, but I think Celestino is an athlete. He could be a really good center fielder. And I think he could kind of fit without the cannon arm, kind of similar to what, like, Ramon Loreno did with the A's this year. I think is a similar, it could be an output for Celestino.
You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then, we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com. Or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve.
Nick Gordon comes in on this list. Not a fan of Nick Gordon. AAA was not very kind to him. 212, 262, 283 slash. Contact rate dipped. Two home runs, 13 stolen bases. He's not his brother. I think people get that confused. And he should start out at AAA. And I'm not optimistic here.
I think people see the bloodline and kind of salivate. But he is not nearly as fast as D.
No, he's not. He's an average runner. And I think what you're looking at here is, like, at best, Dansby Swanson ceiling.
Oh.
Like, what is that? Like, 8 homers, 8 steals, mm-hmm. Right? So I think that's kind of what you're looking at with Gordon. Real small guy needs to add some. The only thing he got from D is his frame. so he needs to add to that. And Steven Gonsalves is another guy I'm not too optimistic about, but he's going to be in the big leagues this year. He got by the minors and posted really gaudy numbers, like ERA-wise and WHIP-wise. But he gets by. He's like a Kyle Hendricks version in AAA. But the only way that plays in the majors is if you have Kyle Hendricks-type command, and he does not. Maybe it'll come, but I don't see it. But he needs to be way more fine than he is with the command and focus more on the quality of strikes. And he needs to stop getting more of the plate because he doesn't really have a knockout pitch, and Gonsalves is probably going to be a back-end guy if that doesn't improve. Lewis Thorpe was in the Futures game this year, and before you get all excited about that, it's probably because of his Australian background. The Futures game, I think everyone looks at that as like an all-star game, and I guess in a way that it is, but there's two things here that the Futures game needs to do. Number one, they need to get two representatives from each team. They try to get an offensive player and try to get a pitcher from each team. Sometimes it doesn't work out. And the second thing that people don't understand about the Futures game is they put a priority on players with unusual backgrounds more so than talent. Keep in mind, everyone's talented there, but like Lewis Thorpe on his own isn't a top 30 pitcher, right? I mean, and the Futures game they try to get the best talent, but he's from Australia. And I think in an effort to grow the game, which is 100% right thing to do, they try to pull pitchers from unique backgrounds. And mm-hmm. Thorpe from Australia, that's why he got the Futures game pub. Keep in mind, he's making a name for himself on his own because he has a plus curveball, or excuse me, plus changeup, which is the best pitch, gets some swing and miss pitch. Curveball's got some, you know, some two-plane depth to it. He can spot it where he wants. He's got a slider-cutter kind of hybrid stuff, command-control lefty. He did miss 2 years with Tommy John surgery and an arm injury. High three-quarters arm slot. I think he's a high upside, high strikeout number 4 guy. Maybe number 3 guy based on everything, based on the entire package. Maciel Urbina is an international guy from this year's J2 class. Uses all fields, some burgeoning power coming there. Ryan Jeffers was their second-round pick out of UNC Wilmington, offensive first catcher. Put up some real ridiculous numbers in short-season ball after getting drafted. And 102 at-bats in Elizabethton, 422, 543, 578 slug with 16% walk rate. And then in the Midwest League, you get 139 at-bats. He showed well, too. 288, 361, 446 with 4 home runs. Again, 2 tough leagues to hit homers, and he had 7 total. Very pull-oriented with really good contact rates, really good walk rates. Raw defender, though, and that's the thing with Jeffers is got a Ryan Domet. Remember Ryan Domet from the Twins? Ryan Domet kind of vibe here. 6'4", 225. Kind of play catcher and half the time, and half the time play first, maybe, is kind of what they're at right now. But I think they fully intend on having him catch long term. And I think he's a 250, 260 hitter, I think, if he gets regular playing time. But I think he can hit 20 home runs if with enough at-bats. And I think, obviously, the defense needs to improve for that to happen, but he's a guy. Luis Rijo, who the guy from the Yankees, another low-level Yankees arm. They just churn these things out like crazy, man. 5'11", 165, but he doesn't look it, man. Low 90s fastball, has some run, has a curveball, has a changeup. It's a really good package for Rijo. Jorge Alcala, who they got from the Astros, the same deal they got Celestino. Probably a multi-inning reliever, but it's four-pitch mix, fastballs that he manipulates, has a two-seamer as well, power curveball, slider, changeup. Everything's great. 6'3", 180, needs to add some weight to the frame. Deshaun Kearsey's an athlete they took in this year's draft. Cole Sands, his brother is I forget his first name. It starts with a C. He's in the Cubs system. He's a lefty. Cole Sands is a Twins second round pick this year. He's got third round pick. And he's I think he had a Florida State commitment, but he's got an upside to be a mid rotation arm. And Junior Severino was the guy they obtained from the Braves in that purge when they blatantly cheated and lost all their players. Switch hitter. Good glove, probably play with the middle, better suited for second base, I think, because he doesn't have a lot of foot speed, but not a base stealing threat, but he can hit. Puts the bat on the ball. Contact rate needs to be a little bit higher for this profile, but he hit 11 home runs in his pro career to this point. And there's some upside here. Bat-to-ball guys and good defenders with good hand-eye coordination tend to hit, and the hit tool will come, but they just need to be patient here.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. What do you got going on over at Prospects Live?
Almost done with our top 30s, man. Podcasts and system ranks, we got a couple left. Giants podcast is coming out here soon. I know it's a little bit delayed. We had some travel schedule issues with JP. We'll get that recorded and out. And then we got three systems left, Mariners, Padres, and Dodgers. So that'll be fun. Brewers coming out Thursday, which is already out when you listen to this. So then it's list season. And then in Friends of Fantasy Benefits, it's draft guide season. So it's a lot of fun stuff going on. I feel like there's not enough time in the day. But
there is not.
We're going to get it out, and then I can take like a 48-hour break, and then we're back into like redraft rankings. So the off season is the busy time of the year. If there was any doubt, I can confirm. So
it really is. It's crazy right now, especially January, because I'm still doing football and doing so much for baseball, and and then
so still fantasy football going on right now.
For me, at least. I mean, it just I still do write ups over at Fantasy Alarm, though they're a lot easier.
Football's dumb.
Yeah, that's because your team's eliminated. Though my team's been eliminated for longer, so I mean, I don't know if I really have much room to talk.
Yeah, so. Football's dumb.
Understand.
I don't want to see football anymore. The Bears broke my absolute heart into a million pieces this year. I tried not to get too excited. I did a very, very good job of like,
hey, they're a quarterback away from being a good team.
No, I think the quarterback's the guy. I used to not think so. But he made some pretty damn impressive throws in that last drive when they needed that field goal, and they got down there. He made some really nice over-the-shoulder throws to the sideline, and I think he's got – as long as the athleticism holds up for Trubisky, I think he can be a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, and that's more than enough for that defense. But
yeah, people listening to this don't care about that, though. So I'm going to wrap it up. You can catch all my stuff over on Fangraphs Fantasy Alarm and Friends of Fantasy Benefits. You can check out Matt Thompson /football.com for all of Matt's football rants.
You don't want those.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to do it for us. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season. Every night I get you on the telephone, we sleep and we talk.
falling.